Welcome to The Crucible, where the Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy gives you a front row seat to conversations with specialists in the minerals and metals sector. SIAM has well over 100 years' experience in and commitment to protecting the professional standards of our industry. Join us now as we discuss the key issues and global initiatives to give you the relevant information needed to make informed decisions, to influence policy that directly affects our sector, and to help our industry grow in an uncertain future.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Crucible, the SIMM podcast. My name is Gondwani, the Great Panda, and on today's podcast, I'm hosting Simon Naika. Our topic for the day is the value and importance of mentoring in a connected economy. So before we get into our discussion, I'd like to give Simon an opportunity to introduce herself. Simon?
Hi, everyone. Very excited to be here today. As Kondwani introduced, my name is Simone Naika, and I am essentially a mining fanatic. I absolutely love the industry. I enjoy working with the people. Mining is very unique and very close to my heart. I hold a number of roles, so I'm primarily here in the capacity of a LinkedIn influencer with my personal brand. My tiara is a hard hat, a little bit of an interesting name. Maybe we'll have some time to dive into that. I'm also an international speaker and podcaster, been on a few webinars. So very much my passion is communicating about mining and making sure that the opinion of young professionals is heard and valued.
Fantastic. I think as you're introducing yourself, one thing comes to mind. As someone that's advocating for the mining industry, what actually drew you to come and participate and actually chase a career within the mining and minerals industry?
So I grew up in a town that was almost funded and surrounded by industry. So I grew up in Richards Bay, in Pengeni area. And watching my dad be kind of a technical person in that space, I was exposed at an early age. And when I started working toward, you know, thinking about careers, I looked toward engineering as something our country really needed. You know, being a developing country, there was a high skill demand for engineers at the time when I was studying. So that was my primary driver, being the demand, because you know, you almost don't want to study something that you will struggle to find work in later. I mean, the environment has definitely changed maybe now, but at the time, very big demand for engineers.
Now, that is fantastic. Thanks for that, Simone. And you also did touch on my tiara is a hard hat. And I know for some people, they might be familiar with the brand itself, but do you mind just reintroducing it maybe to our listeners that haven't heard of your brand?
Yeah, so we trademarked my tiara as a hard hat after, I think it was quite an emotional experience for me, because it's not just a brand, it kind of represents everything that I believe in. I remember being a little girl, and you know, you see the Miss South Africas, you know, the Zordies and all these beautiful women holding this bouquet of flowers with this pretty crown on their heads, and you think, wow, that's what a beautiful South African woman, you know, should be. And I always look toward that as let's call it the prestigious end goal, you know, to be that kind of image. And looking toward the future, imagining this tiara on my head, you know, eventually I realized that tiara that I've always been trying to search for, and that prestige and that honor and that almost that vision of what I thought a successful woman, you know, would be, is actually the dirty, coal-filled hard hat that's in the boot of my car. And when I came up with my tiara is actually a hard hat, my tiara is a hard hat, is to say that every time I put on my hard hat and go to work, I am encompassing that future vision, that woman that I aspired to be, and I hope to inspire others to see their hard hat in the same way, because industry drives South Africa. I mean, we're in a, like I said, a developing country, where we need industry, we need engineers, we need technical people. And I think it's our role and our responsibility to really wear our hard hats with that pride.
That is fantastic. As you actually sharing a bit about your brand, I remember there was a conference that we were attending last year. So the Young Professionals Conference. And one of the common themes that were coming out of that discussion and presentations, you know, was the fact that we actually are losing women, you know, from the mining industry, and the industry itself is not retaining them. Yes, we have graduates, right, from mining, metallurgy, chemical engineering, coming into the field, but our ability to retain them is something that has been a challenge. So with your brand, I'm just wondering, what are some of the initiatives that you've been running or efforts that you've been putting to the industry itself just to ensure that we actually can still retain women and we're keeping them interested in participating within the industry itself?
Thanks for the question, Kondwani. So I would say three initiatives. So primarily, it's my presence on LinkedIn. So I now have a 20K plus following, and that is all levels. So it's from the student to the CEO. And I think being able to influence all levels of leadership and really connect these levels with one narrative, I think is very important. And to be a role model and an example of a woman that stayed in the industry and is really enjoying it. So I think when you see someone doing that, you can almost ask questions. And that leads into the second point, which is coaching and mentoring. So excitedly, I'm in the process of building my TR as a hard hat, the website and everything. And we're really going to just identify those key issues in the coaching and mentoring space that we need to focus on. I would say the third is speaking, you know, at events like this podcast or at an event, you know, when you see someone up on a podium that looks like you, you know, that resonates and it almost gets you excited about an industry where there could be a place for you.
Thank you for that. Just going back to our topic, right? The value and importance of mentoring in a connected economy. How would you define connected economy in this instance?
So a connected economy speaks to the link between the physical world that we exist in, the digital world, and also just the connectedness across the world, like as a whole. Previously, you know, where you grew up in a small village and you'd marry the next door neighbor and you'd go to work at the local butchery and then that was life. I think that kind of environment doesn't really exist anymore. I mean, we're transcending boundaries, borders, the fact that we can record this podcast here in South Africa and it can be listened to in the UK, you know, in Germany, in Australia, and South America. I think that is part of the connected economy. The fact that we're able to have conversations across borders, across race, across gender, across all of those things. For me, one of the key words that come to mind with the connected economy is collaboration. And previously, companies that would compete with one another have to kind of relook at their business models and say, how do we actually focus on what we're good at and collaborate with people to make our business model stronger? So this connected economy is based on connection, collaboration, working together. And I love that you've now brought in the topic of mentorship in that context.
Fantastic. And I think as much as you know, you have elaborated around the connected economy, there's a bit of skepticism, if I may put it, from my side. And the reason for that is I do feel often that organizations have different initiatives, right, that still speak to the same mandate and goal. You have the government initiatives working towards addressing youth unemployment, for example, and part of that might be creating platforms for young professionals to network and possibly get mentorship opportunities. You have professional voluntary associations that also have mentorship platforms that allow young professionals to get access to those. Just to name a few, SIMM has a mentorship program running with the Young Professionals Council. Women in Mining have a mentorship program also, which is focused towards empowering women in mining. Within organizations as well, they have mentorship opportunities, right? Which focus on maybe the people that are employed in that organization. And often you do find that there's a lack of collaboration and leveraging of each other. So I just want to get your views around how well do you think organizations are actually collaborating, and where are the gaps where we are actually not maximizing the efficiency in terms of, creating that bigger impact within the mining industry.
You make a great point, because companies are in the same spaces. So you'll find companies on LinkedIn talking about this, or within their organizations, or having a mentoring program. So from that perspective, companies seem to be doing similar things. On the collaboration specifically, I think that there's room for benchmarking and understanding what is the best practices, because I've actually applied to be part of mentoring programs that I noticed we're not fully serving the function or the purpose. And when we experience things like that, it may make us tentative, to apply for the next mentorship program. And through collaborating, understanding what it really takes to mentor someone, and coach them, it's really a responsibility. You don't just start a coaching or mentoring program for the fun of it. I do think that there's opportunity for companies to talk to one another, figure out best practices, and actually leverage resources. So access to mentors from different industries. So let's say, for example, we have a mentoring program through the SIMM. We there have access to mining and metallurgy professionals, right? And let's say one of the universities has a mentorship program, but they then have access to, let's call it, academic leads and let's say really strong researchers. Now, there's already a great point of collaboration, because you provide access to specialists in different industries. So seeking mentors from different industries, there's definitely room for collaboration. I also found, Kondwani, have you ever been mentored by someone who wasn't in your field?
Interesting enough, no.
Is it? Oh my goodness. It's something you should really try and look into. So I had a conversation with someone in the telecoms industry, and it's amazing. So business, right, as a whole, is so broad and so diverse that we can actually learn from other industries and bring those learnings in. So things like leadership, it transcends industries, communication tools. I would actually even recommend, finding a mentor in a completely different industry, because you have different sets of eyes that you're looking through.
When I actually think about the idea of being mentored by someone outside of my industry, right? It makes me wonder, what value you would actually get from that. And I think part of our discussion is also to understand the value and importance of mentorship, right? Mm. Often you do find that people seek mentors with the end goal of, increasing their capability or skills so they can be able to move up the ladder. It can be for reasons to, they might have been stretched into a new leadership role, and they need someone who has been there to share those insights and guidance. Some people, they just seek mentorship to be able to cope and bridge that gap between what have they learned in university versus what's happening in the real world. But on your end, what would you say is the value and importance of mentorship? And I'd like you maybe to also bring in some of your personal experiences with mentorship and how it has helped you get to where you are today.
Mm. So I completely agree on the value. So you need to always understand what is it that you're looking for in a mentor, because there's so many different types of mentoring. And this is where the benchmarking and collaboration and the collected economy comes in, because I have had brilliant mentors who are my peers. So I got introduced during a leadership course to this concept of peer mentoring. So what is a mentor, right? So you break that down, and it's someone who has a skill set that, if they are able to successfully impart the understanding of that skill set, you can leverage off that for your benefit, okay? Whatever that skill set may be. So I've had instances where a colleague of mine is an excellent planner, and I'll say to him, goodness, sit down with me, 30 minutes, tell me how you plan. And that is almost, I wouldn't say a cheap way, because no one's time is cheap, right? But we always tend to look for the CEO, or we tend to look for an executive, where we're actually trying to learn skills. And I think reframing how we think about that mentorship is important. So we need to understand what it is that we want. And looking for a sponsor is something different. You know, looking for someone senior in the organization who can say, Kundwani is an excellent employee. He works so hard on his projects and I would recommend him. I think that's also part of a role that a mentor or sponsor can play. So speaking to the value, it really is a developmental value. So there's something I want to learn or grow or develop, be it a technical skill, public speaking, learning how to engage with people, and seeking someone who knows how to do that, and then having that knowledge transfer. So that for me is the value. Moving toward the importance of mentoring, I would say, in my career journey specifically, I have a lot of conversations. I remember being on shift work and washing the plant floors, holding that massive hose pipe where I had to have both my feet firmly planted on the ground so that I don't swing with it, and having conversations with the team there, and, you know, just really learning life lessons from the team in operations. And for me, that's mentorship, that's coaching. And it's these conversations throughout my career, at different levels in the organization, that have really shaped my growth and my journey. So there was a gentleman, Baba Mushidi, and he told me, he taught me a very good lesson. He said that I mustn't wait to be acknowledged or recognized. I must be able to do that for myself. And I think these little nuggets, that's what it's about. It's really just about taking those little nuggets. So speaking to the importance, without guidance, right? We can have all the degrees, we can have all the experience in the world, but in order to implement and be practical about how we use it and to use it effectively, you use the word optimize and effective. Those are such engineering terms, right? So we want to be able to optimize, and mentoring is a tool. It's an optimization tool.
That is fantastic. I think one thing I'm picking up also from your response is that we can have mentorship being something that's formal, where there's an agreement between a mentee and a mentor to say, for the next year, you'll be guiding me, you'll be mentoring me, and we'll be meeting to discuss around certain aspects within my career journey. But in addition to that, mentorship should also be something that happens impromptu, something that happens in discussions, could be corridor chats, could be while, you know, you're on the plant executing a specific task, but there's different dimensions to mentorship, which is a very, very awesome point I'm getting from you, Simone. So just to go a bit more personal, what has been your experience with actual mentorship? So if you look at your journey from a graduate engineer to where you're currently at the moment, what exposure have you had personally in terms of formal mentorship?
Mm.
And how has that helped you through your career?
My experience with formal mentorship is having been on a graduate program. So I think companies really have the opportunity to groom and mentor and coach through a structured formal program. The nice thing about having a structured program is that you can offer guidance and training to your employees to ensure that they coach and mentor in the correct way. In doing so, you're actually elevating your leadership and allowing them to develop skills that will transfer, that will make your organization stronger as well. So that formal mentorship program was brilliant for me. Additionally, I applied for a few mentorship programs like the SAIM mentorship program, the YPC. I applied for a mentorship program. It was an international one, and I was mentored by a gentleman in Australia, and that was just so different because the industry is different there. So it opened my mind to the rest of the world, and it made me see that there's so much further than I was able to see before.
When it comes to mentorship, I know that there's some that are actually paid mentorship programs, and there's some that are really available through organizations where you don't have to pay for anything. I'm just wondering, have you experienced both of these, or most of the mentorship programs that you've had were free based on the organization that's actually supplying that?
Fortunately, I've experienced both. So I've been on free mentorship programs that were phenomenal. I've been on free mentorship programs that were awful. I've been on paid mentorship programs where, unfortunately, I couldn't get my money or my time back. So it's tricky. And, you know, that's how life is. You're not ever going to get the perfect thing, right? But you need to look at every experience, no matter how good or bad it is, and figure out what is it that I can take away from this? Because having a not so great mentor is in itself a learning. Because Kondwani, what kind of mentor do you want to be? And if you've experienced someone who maybe didn't connect with you, or you weren't able to really find that common ground, that's a learning. Because I'm sure you have graduates that you're mentoring currently, right? And what's your experience with that?
So I haven't experienced a paid mentorship experience, right? The ones that I have been part of have been free, in most cases, organizational-based type of mentorship. And in terms of the value, I actually prefer the ones that are technical, if I may put it that way. So usually, as an engineer, I want to be able to measure the output at the end of the day. So in most cases, if it's mentorship towards becoming an XR-registered engineer, that's most likely something that I'll find value and would be attracted to. But it's actually a good thing understanding the difference between mentorship opportunities that are out there. And in most cases where I have people that I'm mentoring, it's usually working towards professional registration. So we have a clear path, we have clear objectives, and then we work towards that.
Mm.
But I think what I'm also learning today is that there's more to mentorship versus just technical mentorship, versus mentorship maybe to build a certain soft skill that you want to develop, or mentorship just to help you cope within an organization. There's different areas around it.
I love that you defined a clear goal. Sometimes we think, I just need a mentor and my life will be fixed.
Yes.
That's not how it works. So you need to have clearly defined goals and steps and milestones. And we always imagine, you know, that someone's just going to come on a like shiny horse and save us from ourselves. And really, that's just not the case. What we can learn is better tools, better strategies, and then we learn to change our mindset, and then that saves us. So again, value and importance, the change of mindset is very important.
Thanks for that, Simone. So going a bit deeper into mentorship, there are cases, as you mentioned, where it's executed successfully, and there are cases where it just fails dismally, right? So I want to then touch around the skills that mentors need to have, but also looking at the mentees as well. So just around the effectiveness of mentorships, what would you say makes a good mentor?
I had an excellent mentor, and in our first mentoring session, what he did was spend 15 minutes talking about himself, saying, these are his qualifications, this is his experience, here's a whole rundown of me and my life. And then at the end of that, he said he would bring in his experiences, but that from that point on, it's about me. And I appreciated that so much, because you're there to leverage off the experience of your mentor, but it is not an opportunity for your mentor to kind of have a bragging session with you, right? So I think what makes a good mentor is humility, listening, actually understanding what is the problem that you're solving, or what is the skill that you're transferring. It's not just an opportunity to have a coffee chat with a groupie. So I think understanding your role and how important it is, the time that you're spending with this human being.
Fantastic. And then with mentees, What makes a good mentee?
I think as a mentee, you know, it is very much you want to be a sponge and you want to absorb as much as you can. Also try and give. I think often we would feel, you know, as someone less experienced in the industry, that we wouldn't have a, let's call it a significant opinion on a particular topic or on something. I think actually giving your mentor feedback is brilliant, because if you are privileged enough to have a senior mentor, they're most likely in a space where no one's being honest with them and everyone's telling them how wonderful and brilliant they are. So having, even if it is a young, innocent voice, just sharing, you know, how you say that, or perhaps your view on this might be a little bit outdated, or this is how, you know, I learned at university, we're handling these kind of things now. So you will act as a source for the most relevant upcoming and latest information. And that in itself is so valuable to a mentor. So you need to also figure out that it's a symbiotic relationship, right? Nobody leaves a conversation without learning something. Like I'm learning from you today, Kundwani, and you're learning from me, and we will leave this conversation enriched by one another. And that's just life. That's really just how it works. So a good mentee will figure out, what is that relationship? What can I give as much as I'm going to receive?
Thank you for that, Simone. I've also come to realize that often successful mentorship programs would be where there's in-contact meetings, where the mentor and mentee can actually sit for a coffee and chat, you know. But the way our industry is set up, you will find that your mentor could be in Diphalale, right? While you're based in Joburg. And that happens. You also made an example of a mentor that was based in Australia.
Yeah.
So I'm just... what I want to try and understand now is, how can we ensure that mentorship is still effective, especially where there's distance in between as well? And what tools can we leverage to ensure that that relationship still continues and is still making a difference in both the mentor and mentee's lives?
I would recommend two things specifically. Number one, have clearly defined calendar dates with links, with Teams meetings, and have an agenda associated with that. Okay. So when it's planned out in the diary ahead of time, it's less likely that you're going to get interruptions. It may happen, but then because you have a system, you can amend that system. That's the first thing. The second thing I would recommend is that there is a minute taking or a recording of some kind, preferably from the mentee's side, because it acts as a reflection tool, right? So I think incorporating a journal or a reflection tool into that keeps it relevant, keeps it alive, and maybe some of the thoughts that the mentee had on the session can be the starting point of the next session. So keeping it connected. Yeah.
Fantastic. I think with when we had COVID, we did see a good trend, if I may say it was good, with all the activities going virtual. So, and I think we've seen technology improve also throughout the COVID period. And one of the things that also came out of that period is people feeling that they were fatigued by all these online sessions, attending webinars and all that. Doesn't that still play a negative impact in terms of successfully executing mentorship virtually?
I agree with you. So that nothing beats sitting in a room with a person. And hence, I'm so grateful that we get to do this podcast in person, because I feel that the energy is completely different had we done it online. And if you have the opportunity to meet with your mentor in person, I would recommend some kind of hybrid system, or if possible, in-person sessions primarily. But, you know, sometimes that isn't possible. And even if it's just a kickoff session, maybe every second session having an in-person meeting, that will enrich and add value so much so to that relationship, because I think part of connected economy is connection, right? And we build connection and we build rapport, I would say better in person than we do online, because we're human beings. I mean, we pick up on energy. There's so much that's unsaid. I mean, we've heard so many times people talking about body language being half of communication. And I don't know how, let's call it emotive my shoulders can be in a Teams call. So you're missing so many of, you know, the body language cues already, just being online. So I would recommend in person.
Awesome. So diving deeper into mentorship as well, you mentioned how, I picked up that you've been mentored by both genders.
Yes.
Female and male. And most programs, when it comes to mentorship, they tend to pair based on gender. So you have a senior female professional mentoring a female mentee, mm-hmm. and vice versa. What's your take on cross-gender mentorship?
Mm.
And I also want to understand from an ethical point of view, how do we ensure that it's still professional and still achieves their intended goal?
It's a difficult one. I think we operate in an environment and in a country and in a society where gender-based violence and, you know, inappropriate activity between the genders does indeed happen. And bringing into that positional power specifically, one could feel or shy away from saying no to inappropriate behavior. So I think for me, being open and upfront about what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, and what is the mentee's right, in fact, and also the mentor's right, to report, creating those open communications and connections and networks for that reporting, I think would be important. What I discovered being mentored by both men and women is that the perspectives are so different. There's immense value in being mentored by different genders. And I'll share this. You know, we want more women in the mining sector, in the mining sphere. For me, it cannot be argued that the institutional knowledge of mining sits with men. That's my personal view. It's taken generations and generations of men to actually build the beautiful mines that we have today. And I think to not acknowledge where the institutional knowledge is it's almost disrespectful in my view. I enjoy being mentored by men in the industry because of the experience. Having the ability to tap into that institutional knowledge is such a privilege. And that institutional knowledge will shift as women are in the industry for longer. And yes, you will be able to glean and absorb that from a female. It's so different. You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. You'll get completely different views and perspectives. And I would encourage people not to limit themselves to trying to find the same gender, because we can learn from everyone.
Fantastic. You mentioned the ability for, mentors and mentees being able to report, for example, if there was inappropriate conduct and so on. Often you do find that people go for informal mentorship approaches. So where you approach maybe a senior executive on LinkedIn, like, hey, I want you to mentor me, and you start that relationship. Or it could be formal through an organization that's behind. Mm-hmm. Would you say then it's best to have formal mentorship structures so that we can ensure, again, we're getting the value out of it, and also ensure that we're able to quantify the impact, but also ensure that we are protecting the mentors as well as the mentees? What's your take on that?
There's value in having structured mentorship programs. I would advise anyone new to the industry, young, you know, and it's not just about being new to the industry. I think it's about being young. When we're younger, we're less likely to be open about our views. We're developing and building confidence. I would recommend going for a more structured program at that point, because at that point in your development, you need structure anyway. I think when you become more seasoned or let's say older in the industry, you're able to navigate these nuances a little bit better. You have more confidence. You are able to learn through, you know, communication about gender-based violence and all of these things, that you have the right and the positional power influence isn't as large once you've been in the industry for a while. So I would recommend new graduates to really look toward things like, you know, the SAIIMU-IPC, Women in Mining. There's just so many official mentorship programs, you know. AfriMine, I think, has, the universities have, I think there's so many different programs. And maybe what could benefit graduates is really just tapping in and becoming part of a society, like, you know, the YPC, where we would discuss, you know, what are safe options for mentorship? How do we guide? How do we find that older brother or sister in the industry, you know, that's going to really just say to us, it's okay. This is how you do it. So I think that's my view. That's my view on that.
Fantastic. So I want to sort of like switch a bit back to the connected economy. Again, for us to have a very well-connected economy, we have to ensure that there's collaboration. We have to ensure that there's access to knowledge and access to opportunities to actually network. How has creating your own personal brand helped you navigate this connected economy?
It's interesting, because I never intended on creating a personal brand. It almost happened to me. I posted for the first time, deleted my post, got anxiety, had imposter syndrome, all the usual things, right? And a miracle happened one day where I just didn't delete it. And I started posting more and people just resonated. For me, building the personal brand was probably one of the best things that I've done. It's fun. It's real. I've had inboxes from people whose life trajectories have changed, and the impact. It's so wonderful to receive feedback from someone on LinkedIn that says, I was really struggling with this. Thank you for talking about it and showing me that it's okay. It's really for those moments that I continue. In terms of networking and opportunities, having a voice on LinkedIn, having a voice within your organization, in societies, it allows you to meet like-minded people. And when you build that tribe, that's when you gain confidence, because we're social beings. We're built to live in groups and work in a group society. And when we feel safe because we have like-minded individuals around, we're able to elevate our voices through others. So the impact of creating my personal brand, My Tiara Is a Hard Hat, on my life has actually been fantastic, because I've got to meet wonderful people and engage. And I just think this is the beginning of a great opportunity to connect dots. And I'd love to be, you know, that connector of these different societies and industries, and help the connection economy actually find grounding and root in something.
Fantastic. And I actually saw that you were at the Mining Indaba. And by you being there, how well would you say that such platforms allow for us to actually advocate more for the young professionals, you know, for the mining industry, but also ensuring that our economy is, as you mentioned, that is still as connected. But most importantly, we are addressing some of the challenges that we are facing within the industry. So I think as it stands at the moment, there's a high unemployment rate for young professionals, right? And not just young professionals, but the youth across all industries. How well would you say these platforms are at creating that platform for us to tackle such challenges?
Something I like specifically about the Investing in African Mining Indaba is that they have a special slot on the Thursday. Now, what they do with that Thursday slot is they make access free to all students, where they can come in, have conversations with senior members in the industry, and listen to panel discussions that will open their mind to opportunity. So that's one of the things that's done on that day. Secondly, I was involved through AfriMine and Brunswick, in association with the Mining Indaba, of course, to host a mentoring session there, where we connected individuals to one another and to mentors. And then I'd say the third part is that you can go through all the stores, get some free pins. And other than that, actually speak to people in the industry and maybe see new technology or equipment. So I think there I really enjoyed the interaction. Across the industry, I do think that there are specific targeted campaigns toward the young professionals. I love the YPC conference every year. That's always such a favorite of mine. And there we really touch and connect with our society and our people. So there are a number of conferences where we are interacting. Is there room for more? Definitely.
Thank you, Simone. One thing I actually believe in and have also come to observe as well is that mentorship should actually start like in high school.
Yeah.
Right? Often you only get access to mentorship opportunities when you are now in the working environment. But I do believe that we should need to start at high school, planting that seed, introducing them to the industry, what's happening in the industry, what technology is there, what career opportunities are within the mining and mineral space as well. So that when they transition into universities, it's sort of now a continued pipeline and support until they start working. What initiatives are you aware of? Or what is my TR as a hardhead also maybe looking into in terms of just bridging that gap between where mentorship actually gets accessed by young professionals?
I know of the initiatives from the YPC side. So there is an education pillar, and there, you know, Saeem really goes into schools and has conversations and really just motivates and inspires. I know that you were a speaker at one of these things, so there's some insider information. But I think it's about exposure, because when you ask a child, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up, they will only mention things they've seen, either on TV or through their family. And if they've never seen a metallurgist, or if they've never seen a rock engineer, you know, you limit all the dreaming that they can do. So we need to almost fuel their imaginations with some creative ideas and allow them to go wild.
That is true. Which makes me also appreciate some of the efforts that are there. So yes, like you, mining influencers. I think we need to do more of that and ensure that the word is getting to the right ears so that we can start inspiring and encouraging people to actually seek careers within the mining and minerals industry, because you will find that some of the people that will actually solve some of the greatest challenges, they're probably still in grade 10 or they're in matric, right? And being able to create that path for them where they can get all the right support until they get into the industry itself, I feel there's power in that. So it's great to see what you're doing, as well as others as well in the industry. So I think we're going to start wrapping up. I just want to give you an opportunity for any closing remarks with regards to our topic for today, which is, again, the value and importance of mentoring in a connected economy.
I think my closing thoughts on this is that you shouldn't wait for a mentor. The ability to self-diagnose, self-reflect, and understand where your gaps are is the first step. You don't want to be mentored by just anyone. You want to be mentored by someone who's good at what you're not, or someone who's good at what you need to develop. So the first step in mentoring is actually to evaluate yourself.
Fantastic. Thank you, Simone. Which, again, I think there's room, right, for us to start, you know, initiatives or support, whatever we can do to ensure that we empower each other, but also we empower the future leaders of our industry. We have come to the end of our podcast. We hope you may join us for another session. Thank you. Enjoy your day.
All right. Take care.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening. Please note that the facts and opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not reflect the position of SIAM or the corporate institution.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.